Hey guys, we're going to get to your SummerSlam review with the botch guy from YouTube in just a second, where we went through every match and gave a very, very passionate review, especially for the main event and return of Roman Reigns. So you're going to want to stick around and listen to that, as for the very first time, the botch guy from YouTube and myself joined forces, and I'm sure it won't be the last. So sit back and relax. We're going to get everything going right after this. Are you guys into sports YouTube channels? Then check out PK Sports. That's P as in Peter, K as in kite, sports. What's this channel? Well, it's got the most entertaining sports highlights from players all over the world. They've got everything from LaMelo Ball to Anthony the Brow Davis, James Harden, and the list goes on. Paulo Costa, Kristaps Porzingis. The videos are only a couple of minutes each, and if you love the NBA, well, this is the place to go for the best highlights of your favorite players. So go to YouTube, guys. Check out PK Sports. It's a really fast-growing YouTube channel right now. Again, head on over to PK Sports on YouTube.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, the most passionate and authentic wrestling analysis on the web. We've got you covered with every Raw, SmackDown, and NXT show, giving you a no bullshit opinion. We know you love wrestling. We do too. So let's get this show underway.
And that's the bottom line. What? Cause Stone Cold said so.
All right, guys, welcome to the WWE Podcast. Thanks so much for joining me. Really, really cool show today with the first time ever, the botch guy from YouTube and myself joined forces to tackle SummerSlam in what was a very, very strange show. And we had some very strong opinions that you may or may not agree with, but I hope it's as fun for you to listen as it was for us to record, because we had a great time, and I'm sure that this is not going to be the last time that you hear the botch guy and myself on this show. I think it could be a relatively recurring experience that, again, we will keep you guys informed of, but and maybe I'll even make an appearance on his show. Maybe it'll even be tonight. I don't know. That's what a little birdie told me. Immediately following Raw, but who knows? Check out the Botch Guys channel, though. Head on over to YouTube and subscribe so you don't miss a thing, because maybe I'll appear there from time to time. Hint, hint. So a jam-packed week this week, guys, though. We have, obviously, the Botch Guy tonight. We have Raw tomorrow with Mary Grader. I'm mixing up my co-hosts. And then Wednesday is our interview with Chris Van Vliet, and I'm really looking forward to that as we cover everything in wrestling and how he got to where he is today. So looking forward to that interview, and it's going to be a fun time with so much going on in wrestling. And it was a very, very, again, strange pay-per-view that Botch Guy and I are going to cover here in just a minute. But first, welcome to the show. If you like us, give us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or anywhere that podcasts are able to take a rating. It helps us out big time. So thank you so much. And tell a friend if you love the show. I know that many of you have been messaging me on Instagram. I appreciate that. And many of you have voiced your opinions about SummerSlam. But I do want to get a question onto the show from Madeline, who writes in and says, I was glad Asuka won just one of the women's titles last night, but I was still upset she was in both matches when there are so many other women they can be building with no Charlotte and Becky right now. Because they haven't focused much on any other women in the division, I'm wondering what you guys think could be the next legitimate contender to the SmackDown Championship off Bayley rather than just another Tamina filler match. So, Mimi, it comes up Madeline, but I'll call you Mimi because that's what you prefer. Thanks for writing in. I think it's going to be somebody they call up, or it could be a returning Charlotte. Becky is out for the foreseeable future. I think it's probably going to be somebody that is a familiar face. I would hope that they call up somebody from NXT. I would even hope they push Shayna Baszler. But with Shayna Baszler kind of being a quasi-heel, I don't think that she's a good candidate right now, as she kind of also is randomly involving herself in Raw Underground. And she'd also have to be drafted to SmackDown. So I honestly don't know. I mean, they have Naomi in and out of relevancy. They have Lacey Evans kind of popping in and out of relevancy as well. I mean, I guess they're too busy doing their karaoke contests to care about who should be challenging for the championship. And Bayley has run through a lot of people. So that would tell you that she probably has somebody new that is on the horizon. So it's certainly a conundrum. It's certainly a conundrum. Or Bayley, you know, it could be Sasha herself, as many people predict. So thanks for writing in, and I appreciate your question. So again, guys, head on over to the website if you want all of our podcasts there and articles and everything else. And we also have a Patreon if you don't like the commercials, patreon.com/WWE podcast. So, all right, let's not waste any time. SummerSlam was a big deal last night. Let's get to the Roman Reigns reaction. Let's get to the Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville debacle and everything else in between, and the really surprising debut of Dominic, and so much more. So let's get everything started right now. Again, guys, I'll talk to you tomorrow, and enjoy the show. Alrighty, welcome to the WWE Podcast, and welcome to the official SummerSlam review. And you guys know that I've been talking about this show for weeks. You know that I've said that I'm going to have this guy on the show. I've been talking about him, I've been talking him up, and I finally have him on the show. The Botch Guy is with us from YouTube. How you doing, Jake? How's everything going?
You're going to be so underwhelmed. No, I'm just kidding. thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. I've been wanting to do this for a very long time. I just listened to your stuff. It's just incredible stuff. And I'm just really looking forward to it. I think we're going to have a really good show today.
I am too. I'm really looking forward to this. There's a ton of content to get to. And but before we get there, I want to give you a second here, because my listeners have been actually asking me, hey, how do I get in contact with him? What's this guy about? And I've always just directed them to your YouTube channel. So let my listeners know. Maybe they haven't, you know, heard me before about what you do. Let everyone know what you do and where they can find you.
Yeah, so basically, my name is The Botch Guy. I run a wrestling YouTube channel. I've been doing like reactions, parodies, and like rants and raves, and, you know, positive stuff, negative stuff, just kind of a mix and match of just a whole different type of topics. And honestly, I just started off as a fan, and, you know, I kind of grew the thing. I realized people really like the whole genuine, honest aspect of talking wrestling, and I built a community from scratch. We had 120 followers or something just about a year and a half ago. We just hit over 66,000. So it's been growing like crazy. I don't know. I'm just pretty down to earth person. You can talk to me anytime, and you can definitely check me out at www.youtube.com, The Botch Guys. You can check me out over there.
Awesome. And I would really recommend it. And I watched your reaction to Roman Reigns earlier today, which was really fun to watch. And what was it? Mandy Rose versus the table, the folding the table that she had issues with. That was really funny. So we'll get to that as well. But let's start off. Let's start off with the Street Profits and Andrade and Angel Garza. So Raw Tag Team Championship match. The Street Profits retain. What did you think about this match? Were you underwhelmed? Give me your thoughts.
You know, I think the Street Profits really get hyped up from the crowd. So when there's no real crowd there, I feel like a little bit of the mystique is kind of gone with the Street Profits. Honestly, overall, their build has been okay. I don't think it's been anything like spectacular or anything special. The Poison thing was kind of weird. And just overall, I thought the match itself was all right. Like, it was a pretty decent back and forth affair. I expected more storyline driven things, maybe something more creative to do with Zelina and Andrade and Angel Garza there. But I don't know. I thought it was a pretty solid, generic, you know, start off the SummerSlam show match. What do you think?
Yeah, it wasn't, you know, it didn't overwhelm me. This, I think, could have been better than it was. And you said the whole Poison storyline was just bizarre. It wasn't anything that really grabbed me. And the Street Profits, I don't know, they seem very one-dimensional at this time. And the way that Vince McMahon's been portraying them, kind of as a comedy act, going to, you know, doing the anything you can do, I can do better storyline, I think was really damaging to them and really damaging to the championship. And just because I know that in ring they can do a lot better, and especially Montez Ford. I mean, this guy is ultra athletic. The height he gets on the top rope is just otherworldly. And having the Street Profits retain, I mean, I guess I don't know how to feel about it. I'm not excited. I'm not disappointed. It's just that I don't know why WWE continues to push this narrative of Andrade and Angel Garza having some kind of heat between one another. I don't understand why we're supposed to care about two heels that really have never even gotten on a good roll, about what we're supposed to care about these two, about who's did what and who said what and what the problem is. And then you have Zelina Vega in the middle, who is, to me, probably the best speaking manager outside of Paul Heyman that WWE has right now. I don't know what to think about this. It kind of left me going, okay, Street Profits retain.
Well, what's really nice about Zelina Vega is the fact is I care more about Zelina Vega right now than both Garza and Andrade. And that, you know, that's great in a way that, you know, because she's doing such an amazing job as a manager, that's always nice for her. But when it comes to them, I feel like they need to stand out a little bit more. Like you said, the storyline, once again, it's kind of disjointed. They're not really following any sort of actual path. They've been kind of teasing a turn, or at least like a feud there between the two for so long now. Man, I don't even remember how many weeks or months it's been now with that whole storyline. I want to see something completely fresh. I want to see something completely different. But I will say this, though. Montez Ford, did you see that finisher, the spin midair? Oh, my God, yes. The rotation. Incredible.
Insane. This guy is clearly the star of the team. And there's always on a tag team, 9 times out of 10, there's always a star on the team that outshines the other. I mean, look around. And Montez Ford certainly is that guy. And, I'm thinking this is probably not over, given we have Payback in a week. This is probably going to be just a lot of rehash of SummerSlam in some instances. So, again, Zelina Vega is the star of that group. She is the glue. Without Zelina Vega, I would be very disinterested in Andrade and Angel Garza. The Street Profits retaining for now. It is what it is. I mean, I would have liked to have seen Andrade and Garza get on a bit of a roll with those belts, but they're keeping them on the Street Profits for now. So, okay, no DQ match. This one turned from a hair versus hair to a loser leaves WWE. This town ain't big enough for the both of us type of match. And Mandy Rose versus Sonya Deville. Mandy Rose really surprisingly got the victory here. I picked Sonya Deville to win here. And I don't know how out of nowhere Mandy Rose is able to just defeat Sonya Deville after how many times she's lost to her. This storyline was, it had a lot of legs and then it died for a while and then came back. To me, Sonya Deville is the breakout star, one of the biggest breakout stars of this year, of the coronavirus era, if you will.
Just great intensity
from her.
Huh?
She's so good. I love what Sonya Deville has become. And Mandy Rose is, she came out, her outfit, what the hell was she wearing? Was I the only one distracted by her outfit? It was just a kind of a weird, maybe I've just never seen her in real wrestling attire. I don't know, but it was weird.
She rocked that mushroom cut back from the 80s.
Yes.
I thought she still looked pretty attractive, I'm not going to lie.
Of course.
I did have a couple of looks there. But honestly, this whole storyline was pretty good. Like, I thought the buildup was been like pretty decent overall. Here's the thing. Okay, so with Sonya Deville obviously having that crazy stuff that's happening with the crazy fan, my theory is basically that Mandy Rose won because Sonya probably needs a little bit of time off. I think originally it was planned as a hair versus hair, and then that happened, and then maybe Sonya went to, it's all speculation, this is completely my speculation, but like maybe she went to Vince or something and said, hey, you know what, I might need a little bit of time off, I'm just, you know, not into it right now, and having Mandy take the win, because it doesn't make much sense to me why Sonya would lose, especially because, just like you said, man, she is a breakout star. She's been one of the best performers now for a long time, not just in the ring, but her mic work has improved so drastically, kind of like Apollo Crews. The mic work has improved so drastically. And like I said, man, the intensity about her, she comes out and she has a presence about her, something that, I'm going to break out this name, Ronda Rousey kind of did. I know Ronda obviously has a way bigger, you know, fan base following, but she has a little bit of a presence about her, and that's something I really, really seem to enjoy.
There's no doubt. And when I remember when she turned heel and right in front of Mandy Rose, and she had this like scalding heel promo. I'm like, where the hell has this been the whole time? Like, I mean, and so yeah, Sonya Deville is, I think, got a lot of bright days in front of her, and I think easily in 2021, she's going to be holding the SmackDown Women's Championship, or Raw if they have another draft, whatever it may be. But Sonya Deville needs to have a run with the Women's Championship. She really has everything, and I'm really on board with what she's done. And you could be right about the whole stalker thing. You absolutely could be right. And having Mandy Rose, though, during the match, and again, I know I commented on this earlier, but Mandy Rose with the table, man, what the heck happened there? I mean, what was that?
You know, when there's a good botch, like when I make my videos, I do it like in a kind-hearted way. The whole point of my videos is to kind of make people smile, make people laugh, help people get through situations. That's all it is. It's all it's ever going to be. Kind of like the America's Funniest Home Videos type style of comedy. You know, just caught talking over it. When I saw something like that, man, I had to make it. I had no choice. I saw Mandy Rhodes struggling. Like, this is like Titus O'Neil running out for Royal Rumble or whatever that was when he botched underneath the whole ring there. But honestly, it was so funny. I was laughing so hard. I'm like, that's it. I don't have a choice. I have to make a video on this. I even did commentary on it, which was actually kind of funny about it. But honestly, I thought that was just a funny spot. And honestly, I'm pretty sure Mandy's probably laughing about it too. Like, she probably went backstage and she's probably like, oh my God, that. You know, table, right? I'm not sure if I can swear on your show, but you know, I thought it was pretty funny overall.
It was hilarious. Because I'm like, what is she doing? She's just pushing the table. I know what she was, I think, trying to do, and it just didn't happen. It was weird to watch. I'm probably going to have to go back and rewatch it again just to laugh. But it did remind me of Titus O'Neil, which was probably one of the funniest botches I've ever seen in my life. Now that I'm thinking, I haven't thought about that in a long time. I mean, I remember, you know, even
Shockmaster, man.
Shockmaster, yeah, the Shockmaster tripping, yeah. Oh God, I mean, there's been some really funny ones, but Titus O'Neil, I remember Corey Graves just absolutely losing it on commentary. It was one of the funniest. But again, the stipulations of this were pretty severe. It went from hair versus hair to just, hey, loser is out of WWE. And you know, we all know WWE's track record of being able to stick with stipulations like this. I mean, you can look back to the Authority. If the Authority loses the match, or I think it was like Survivor Series or whatever it was, then they're gone out of power. They were gone for like 4 weeks and then they came back. I mean, they have a history of not sticking with these kinds of things. So I'm sure Sonya Deville will find a way to bring herself back. I don't know how, but I mean, leave it to WWE. I'm not concerned about Sonya Deville actually being gone from WWE.
Mm-hmm. And then we have the lovely Seth Rollins versus Dominic Mysterio, the street fight, man. What did you think?
Oh, I will say this. I was pleasantly surprised about Dominic, who I thought was going to use this no DQ match as a crutch for the lack of actual wrestling ability, where it doesn't take a whole lot of skill to use an inanimate object and wail on your opponent. I mean, it's not a difficult thing to do, even if you have zero wrestling experience. So I thought that was going to kind of be like putting deodorant on his lack of a wrestling ability. And I was very, very surprised at his ability and shocked. And it was great to see. It was, to me, one of the best matches of the night. I think that, and I can't believe I'm saying that, but just from a story perspective, maybe not from a five-star classic, but from deep story, I loved it. Having the handcuffs come out and having Dominic get stomped in the head in front of his father and having Seth Rollins just be so pleased with himself, I loved it, man. I enjoyed the hell out of this match from an emotional perspective. That's probably what drew me in the most, is really just how good the storyline's been from an emotional standpoint, has completely overachieved, and from Dominic being in ring, I think, overachieving many people's expectations.
Well, it's a logical progression, right? They started off with the whole Seth Rollins, Rey Mysterio. You have that angle going on. You get Dominic involved. You do the whole Buddy Murphy. I know technically he's called Murphy now, but I still want him to be called Buddy. And the whole, you know, you kind of progress that character a little bit, and then you move on to the Dominic and the actual match itself. By the way, Seth Rollins rocking his 1997 Halloween Havoc gear, and Dominic rocking his SummerSlam 2005 attire that Rey Mysterio was actually wearing. So just a little tidbit there for you. I thought the match was pretty good. I thought it was a pretty solid match. Seth Rollins' facial expressions have increased and gotten so good now that whenever he has a match, especially since he's turned into the Monday Night Messiah, I feel like he's actually reached maybe a new level that he hasn't reached before. I feel like he's finally found something that he's enjoying, and he's putting over other wrestlers even by taking wins. And that's something that he badly needed to do back in the day, and it's kind of nice that you can see it now.
No, it is. And I have said from the beginning of when Seth Rollins was a babyface, I said, this doesn't feel right. It felt forced. The whole WrestleMania with Brock Lesnar, it didn't feel right. Seth Rollins is a natural born heel, just like I believe Charlotte is a natural born heel. Whenever they try to turn her babyface, it's something just doesn't sit right with me. And Seth Rollins was born to be a heel. And this to me is the best iteration of Seth Rollins that we've ever seen, including the Authority run and the Burn It Down and all any of that. I think this is the best Seth has been. And the Monday Night Messiah.
Bring back the laughing Seth, though. I want to see some more laughs, man. I thought this was so funny back in the day when he was a heel, just cracking those laughs over and over.
And he's got an obnoxious laugh. I mean, there's nothing endearing about it. So it's perfect for a heel, absolutely. And having Murphy, and I agree, saying Murphy without Buddy in front of it, something doesn't click in my brain. Everything just, Buddy Murphy just flows. I mean, it just rolls off the tongue, and they decide to chop his name, whatever. We call him Buddy Murphy here on the show, too. That's fine. I think this is a great next step. I honestly don't know what the end game is here. Do you have any idea what the end game is for this whole thing?
I'm confused now because, you know, the whole mother got involved too. Like, I'm not sure we didn't mention that, but like the mother got involved. That's the one part maybe I didn't really like. I didn't really need to see her get involved in the situation. I understand it on an emotional basis, you know, obviously because Ray and, of course, the son, right? But it's – I don't know. I wasn't a big fan of the mother getting involved. But moving forward here – it's tricky, right? Because they've done so much, and they actually have been pretty creative with the, you know, the way they've kind of booked this whole storyline. For the first time maybe in my life, I actually don't really know, and I don't really have too much of an opinion on what's going to happen next. And in a weird way, that's kind of exciting, isn't it? Because then you can kind of see what the WWE is going to actually do with this storyline specifically, because they've continued to do a good job with it. So let's see what's next.
That is, I was thinking the same thing. I said, I honestly don't know. Usually in any given storyline, most of the time you go, they're probably going to end here. You have an idea of the destination. This one, I don't know, and I'm fine with it. I love it. And having Rey Mysterio and Seth do what they've done over the last several months is really a testament to Rey Mysterio, who I don't think anybody expected this to come out of Rey Mysterio's second run here in WWE, who has, I mean, their chemistry has been way more than I thought it ever would be, and this story has probably morphed into there more than they ever thought it would be. So I don't know what to expect with these two. I would assume that it's going to be some kind of blow-off. I mean, Payback seems kind of quick. Maybe at the next pay-per-view of, like, Hell in a Cell. I would think Hell in a Cell is warranted of this. This, to me, is where Hell in a Cell is absolutely justified. I'm not a fan of doing Hell in a Cell matches just because it's on the schedule and whatever programs happen to be going on, just stick them in the cell. No, to me, having Hell in a Cell as a pay-per-view has really watered down the mystique of the cell. So this is actually deserving of it if this is where it's going.
I'll say this, though. Dominic, you know, clearly he earned the respect of not just the fans, but the people backstage in the WWE when he took all those kendo shots and just got absolutely beaten and battered beyond belief. And I honestly, because of that, it makes me even more invested into him, because clearly he's taking this seriously. I know he got a quick push to the main roster. Does that mean he's going to officially stay here? Who knows? But honestly, I thought he did a pretty good job overall. And you know, there's been a lot of debuts in the past where I was pretty underwhelmed, and this is not one of them.
No, it's not. It's definitely not one of them. And Dominic, like I said, absolutely blew me away with what he did, and he's taking it seriously. It wasn't just play fighting in there, or he didn't seem like a pushover in the ring. He took Seth Rollins, I mean, they always say to the limit, or he was, you know, a very game whoever. I mean, but he did. He really brought it in the ring with some of the athletic moves. He was doing like those head springs, like at the beginning of the match. I was like, oh my God. So it was great. And like you said, the throwback to the 2005, I remember that storyline very well. Was that the one with the whole custody of Dominic storyline with Eddie?
Was that that was so long ago. I'm pretty sure that's exactly what it was.
All right.
And you know what's interesting? We have the whole Bayley versus Asuka double match coming up. I know you want to talk about that lovely one.
Yes, that's actually what's next here. I will say this. Bayley and Asuka in the ring, always a good time. I mean, you know it's going to be a good day at the office with these two. They're just pros, absolute pros. And it was I enjoyed the match as a whole. I really did. The ending, I expected Bayley to retain, and she should retain. But my only issue was, number one, WWE has this bad habit of constant matches ending in roll-ups. It's like the new DQ. How many roll-ups have we seen on Raw, on SmackDown? We had like three on SummerSlam last night. I know roll-ups are a finish, but when you kick somebody in the head six times and do, you know, crazy moves and DDTs and, you know, crush their head into the mat, and a roll-up is what ends it, I mean, I know what they're doing. They were trying to set the seeds for a split. So the match itself, the quality, I enjoyed. It was as good as advertised, but the finish left me going, huh? How did Sasha take the bullet for Bayley, but Bayley didn't take the bullet for Sasha? And I'll get into that in a minute too, but what did you think about Bayley and Asuka and the result?
You know, we actually have a running joke on my channel with the whole roll-ups. I think it's at 76 now roll-ups this year.
Somebody's keeping count? Oh, I love
it. Yeah, we have some guy actually keeping count of it, which is so funny. We always joke around how it's the most devastating finisher, even stronger than the RKO.
That's what I've said.
You know, it's... But hey, Baron Corbin actually has a finisher. I don't think anybody kicked out of, but hey, I don't want to get into that. Okay. But you know, I thought the match was okay. So here's what I think. Okay. So Bayley versus Asuka, they have a really, really strong match. And I think the storyline involved with them. And by the way, Bayley, like whenever I hear someone saying, well, this character doesn't have a gimmick that's working, or this character doesn't have a gimmick that's working, the way I see it is every single character, every single individual, every single wrestler can find something that works for them, even if the initial one didn't work. And Bayley has found it. I don't know what it is. It's kind of annoying, but she's found it. She's found kind of her rhythm, and she's found kind of a way that people can actually relate to this different style of her. And I think she's knocking it out of the ballpark. Now, sometimes I think it's cheesy. It's kind of annoying, but most of the time, I think it kind of hits the spots, especially when, like, Sasha gets thrown on the outside and then she's screaming. Sasha's just taking a rest. She's just resting out there. Stop counting, right?
Yes.
I thought that's kind of funny, but I thought her match was good. It was interesting that, once again, like you said, man, Bayley, the whole kind of helping out, or Sasha helping out Bayley, and Bayley not kind of doing the same. And if you notice, the very end of the match with Sasha and Asuka, Bayley was getting absolutely stared down by Sasha. It was not a coincidence. Like, they zoomed in right at Sasha's face. There's something going to happen tonight, absolutely. And I will say, with the Sasha match, there was a lot of submission reversals. I thought it was kind of neat. And the one thing, maybe, if you could kind of talk about this, is Sasha made Asuka's finishers kind of look weak. Like, she got out of some of these Asuka locks, like, within like 1 second, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, I guess that's not going to end it right there.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, I mean, I saw that it was like, is she applying like just a simple arm bar? I mean, it did not look like it should have probably looked, if I was going to nitpick something like that. I mean, but anytime Asuka's in the ring, I mean, she is clearly, and even viewed by WWE, is one of the top women in WWE, top workers, and I'm fine with her capturing the Raw Women's Championship. I actually thought that WWE was going to let this burn even longer and have both women retain and eventually have the payoff when fans can actually be a part of this, because they've been building this for quite some time. And I think this is also a storyline that is overachieved with Bayley and Sasha. I don't think anybody expected them to get this hot. Bayley.
No, go ahead. And Asuka took an absolute beating too, man. That little power bomb on the outside smashed her head right down there. Oh my God. It was definitely a little bit of a botch there, but Asuka's been taking a beating now for a while, and she just keeps on getting up, and she's so talented. Even though her mic skills obviously need some work, it's, you know, it's not her fault, right? She's not from this country and all that stuff, so that'll get better with over time. But she's just a natural, charismatic person, individual, not just the character, and it shows off really well. That's why she continues to get pushed like she does.
And I'm actually, it's weird. I was super annoyed by the fact that I didn't understand her at first. You actually, it's bizarre. Like, I'm actually okay with her only knowing a limited amount of English now, because it's almost like she's annoyingly charming, and that's the only way that I can phrase what Asuka has become. She's annoying. It's annoying that you can't understand her, but it's super charming because she's just so charismatic, she's like a walking cartoon. I mean, her facials are just way overdone, but it actually works. It's like so bad that it's good. And her, obviously, in-ring speaks for itself. She's one of the top women in WWE, and there's no doubt about it. But I was going to say, with Bayley, her heel character, when she turned heel, I think she kind of felt a little lost. They didn't really know what to do with her. She was coming out with her head down, and she had a public slaying of the Bayley buddies, mm-hmm. and she didn't know where to go. And I think that you're right. She's found that rhythm. She has defined what she is, which is kind of like just she's just super comfortable. She's super mm-hmm. – and you can see it that she's super comfortable out there with Sasha. But the one thing I was going to bring up with these two matches is that they said that Sasha took the bullet for Bayley, but Bayley wouldn't return the favor. Well, I didn't really understand that because with Asuka going to the rope and one of them moving out of the way, why wouldn't she get caught up in the rope even further if that person just moved out of the way? If someone was there, like how is it taking the bullet for somebody if you're behind them? That doesn't make sense. Like that to me was like, wait, no, you're behind them. You're not taking the bullet if you're behind somebody. So that logic, I know what they're going for. I'll roll with it. But it just didn't make a whole lot of sense there with trying to, draw a wedge in between these two when it just didn't make sense that way. But Sasha winning or Sasha losing, I think, sets up for them to lose their tag team belts at Payback.
Hey, Matt, if we ever have a situation, I'll take a bullet for you just like that, man. I'll just stand right behind you, okay,
that's,
man?
That's hilarious. I said that. I said that's the equivalent of me saying to somebody, yeah, I'm going to take a bullet for you, but I'm going to stand behind you. That's exactly what it is. So it's ridiculous. Any final thoughts on these two matches?
No, I think that's pretty good. That was a pretty good run there, by the way. Really good. Nice stuff.
Oh, God. I mean, sometimes it fires me up when I see these things. I know what they're doing, and I get it. But it's just like, come on, man. All right. Now we get to the big two here. Drew McIntyre and Randy Orton, I'm going to let you take this one first.
Well, we're not talking about Apollo versus
everyone. I mean, that's the main event, so I want to say
joking.
That for last.
I'm just joking. I don't care, to be honest. No, you know what? Drew McIntyre and Randy Orton, man. It was a hard-hitting match. I thought they absolutely beat the living hell out of each other. But the main thing I want to talk about, especially with you, Matt, on this, is wasn't it nice and reassuring and kind of enjoyable that we had a big match like this that wasn't a finisher spam? It wasn't literally just spamming finisher after finisher, going after the Claymore, the RKO over and over and over and over, hitting people, kicking out every 2 seconds. They didn't connect with any of their finishers. And for that, it felt more like an actual wrestling match. And that's something I enjoyed about it. I thought it was a little slow at times, but I just loved that it was a big event, a big match. And it wasn't just, let's kick out of the finisher spam. You know what I mean?
You're listening to the WWE Podcast. We'll be right back after this short break.
Are you guys into sports YouTube channels? Then check out PK Sports. That's P as in Peter, K as in Kite, Sports. What's this channel? Well, it's got the most entertaining sports highlights from players all over the world. They've got everything from LaMelo Ball to Anthony the Brow Davis, James Harden, and the list goes on. Paulo Costa, Kristaps Porzingis. The videos are only a couple of minutes each, and if you love the NBA, well, this is the place to go for the best highlights of your favorite players. So go to YouTube, guys. Check out PK Sports. It's a really fast-growing YouTube channel right now. Again, head on over to PK Sports on YouTube.
Welcome back to the WWE Podcast. Let's get back to more great wrestling audio.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I thought. It was like a palate cleanser for what was coming up after this match. I mean, because you knew, when we get to that with The Fiend and Strowman, there was going to be a kick out, a finisher kick out fest. And we got some of that, but we'll save that for a minute. I agree, it was a little slow at times. And there's always that obligatory, like, 10-minute Randy Orton rear chin lock in the middle of the ring. I mean, that's just what he does. Like, that is the Randy Orton special, is that rear chin lock. So, yeah, I mean, there were some slow spots, but you know what? I'm okay with that. Because that allows you to take what's going on and digest it. I think a lot of what's going on in today's version of pro wrestling, AEW, WWE, wherever, whatever promotion, that things go too fast. I mean, it's always about the spots, the spots, the spots, mm-hmm. instead of
AEW
actually the psychology.
Has that problem a lot.
Yeah. Like, I want to know what's going on. I want to care. Instead of it's really more focused on athleticism than emotional investment, which to me is very superficial. Like, you didn't see this back in the 90s, early 2000s. And you'd see a five-star match with maybe Austin and Triple H that none of them, not one of them went to the top rope. I mean, like, so you can have a five-star match without, you know, 450 splashes and 11 suicide dives. Like, it's possible. But I love this match from start to finish as far as the in-ring psychology. The pacing was very well done. The finish, I said this in my review, my quick review last night. I don't know the last time we've had a match, especially on a pay-per-view format, the last time a match happened that a finisher actually didn't connect. I don't know. I don't know the last time that happened.
Me either. I can't figure it out.
No. So I think it was brilliantly done. I was a bit concerned about Randy Orton losing, because I think Randy Orton to me is hotter as a heel than Drew McIntyre is as hot as a babyface. So to me, I would have actually put the belt on Randy, even though I love Drew as champion. It was almost like they couldn't lose in who they chose. But to me, Randy Orton as champion would have superseded Drew retaining the belt. Do you agree?
I agree.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I thought Randy Orton was going to win this, man. He was absolutely white hot. He's been so good. You know when a wrestler is so good? Like, you watch a guy like CM Punk, when he's cutting promos on wrestlers, not during a promo period, but in the middle of a match, that's when you know someone has transcended, yes, or at least went back to kind of like that old style of Randy Orton. And he was cutting promos on guys like Andrade and Garza and like stuff like that outside of the ring during a match.
Yes.
And it was so good. And when you see stuff like that, you see Randy with all the stuff he did with Edge. You see Randy Orton, the way he's cutting promos with Ric Flair, who, by the way, Ric Flair can still cut a promo like the best of them. Oh. I got to admit. And, you know, I thought personally Randy was going to win this one because of how hot he was. But at least now it once again establishes Drew McIntyre as not just another guy. He beat now Randy Orton at the top of his game. And it makes me wonder, what's next for Drew McIntyre and Randy Orton, man? What do you think?
Well, I think they're going to up the ante. I mean, at Payback, it's clearly going to be a rematch. I would think stipulate. I mean, Street Fight's an easy way to say, but I don't know. Steel Cage? I'm not sure. I would say just a street fight. I mean, typically, that's the pro wrestling logic, where you have a normal fight or a standard wrestling match, then you up the ante to like an ODQ street fight, whatever, and then it goes to like Steel Cage or maybe like a lumberjack. I don't know. But to me, it's probably going to be a no DQ match. And I'm just a little bit concerned because Randy Orton lost this on a backslide. So I was just complaining about roll-ups. I'm going to put this in the same category as roll-ups. However, I will give this one a pass only because it's a way that still kind of, I guess, a little bit preserves Randy Orton's just white hot heat that he's done an awesome job of and WWE's credit of getting over the last 6 months. So it preserves it a little bit because you didn't get to see Randy get his head kicked off. It was, you can preserve that as, okay, well, he lost, but it wasn't in the exact way that I wanted him to lose. So now you're going to want to tune in to see that actually happen. But to me, I would not have Randy Orton lose at all until Edge returned. Like, that's how I would have booked it. And with Edge coming back maybe in the next few months, I would have just waited. But nonetheless, they still did it, and I'm fine with it because I think their next match is going to be that much better. And I think Randy Orton probably captures the belt the next time these two meet in a week.
And originally, when I saw the little backslide there finish, I'm like, maybe they kind of screwed that up. And I went back and I looked at it and I'm like, no, that was actually the finish, because it seemed to kind of come out of nowhere. Like, I know they set up a kind of a nice reversal spot there at the end, but like, I didn't think that kind of a finish was going to be possible in that big of a match. So when you see something like that, it does make you wonder, that's very interesting. But overall, I thought the match was good enough, and it does set up a future storyline here. Randy kind of got caught, right? So who knows what they're going to do next. I just hope it's going to be a pretty good feud, and right now it's been pretty solid overall, and I just want to want it to continue to be a hard-hitting affair. And for the next gimmick match, I don't know. I don't think it's going to be a street fight. I think we've been doing so many street fights now. I feel like there's a street fight like almost every week on Raw or some sort of pay-per-view. So I'm not sure what they're going to go next. But maybe an I Quit match, maybe something cool like that. But who knows, man?
Yeah, I could see that happening. And I'm not happy Randy Orton lost, but I will say this. I don't know the last time Randy Orton had a finisher hit on him and then lost the match. And I'm not counting WrestleMania against Edge because that was backstage and not really a wrestling match. That was more of just like find your nearest object and slam them into it for 40 minutes. So, I don't even know the last time Randy Orton lost clean in the middle of a ring after being hit with a finish. I don't know. I mean, it's a pre-COVID era, so he still has a lot of heat. I'm sure getting on the mic or kicking somebody's head off again tonight will put that right back into its place. And maybe he does that to Drew McIntyre and he's, you know, questionable for payback or something. And he's, you know, groggy during the match. That maybe they do that. So on to the main event here. We have The Fiend versus Braun Strowman. Again, I'm going to toss this one to you because I'm very interested to hear about what your thoughts are on this that we thought was going to be a finisher kickout fest. And I guess we got some of that for sure.
Look at all the work I'm putting in, man. Do I get paid for this or what?
Yeah, checks in the mail. Yeah.
No, you know what? I'll be honest, man. I've always been a really honest guy. I thought it was extremely disappointing. I didn't really enjoy it. I didn't like the pace of the match. I thought it was really slow. I've kind of seen the whole, you know, Fiend kicking out at one stuff, which is fine. Like, I don't really have too much of a problem with that originally, but you know, it's kind of like the same thing now with the Fiend's matches where he kind of looks strong. He does his, you know, kind of little gimmick stuff. He kicks out at one and then he has a couple of nice outside spots with some damage and, you know, good facial reactions overall. But overall, I don't know, man. Like Braun Strowman as well, I thought it was hard hitting for sure. I definitely think they put in a decent, you know, work in overall, but it just didn't connect with me. Maybe I'm completely off on this. I'm not sure if you feel the same way, Matt, but I don't know. I feel like it didn't really connect with me overall. I feel like they could have done something more dramatic, especially after that god-awful chokeslam they had on SmackDown there. Man, that was such a bad chokeslam.
Yeah, that was, I mean, you could tell he fell into like a big pad. I mean, and you know, and it was, that whole thing was, on SmackDown was just, I mean, it was kind of laughable, but yeah, nonetheless, this match, well, it did certainly underwhelm. I would have put Drew versus Orton as the main event had the Roman Reigns interference, or not interference, but post-match return didn't happen, and I see why they did it, but again, I was a bit underwhelmed by this too. I don't think that it lived up to the hype that I think they did a pretty good job of telling the story, and mm-hmm. Now that this is their third match, this tells me that this program's over. I mean, typically three matches is standard. I don't see them going a fourth only because, well, I mean, Payback is around the corner. They could do something, but I think this has probably run its course. I mean, after you bring out the children's host of Bray Wyatt, then you bring back the Swamp Cult leader, and then you bring back the Fiend, there's really nowhere to go now. And it seems like this monster character that Braun Strowman has brought out is not just an act by Braun. It seems like he has truly turned and turned heel. I think it's probably where he's going to stay. Given Roman Reigns is now back, there's a babyface spot to pick up. And that's where I think Roman Reigns enters. And I think that Roman Reigns is going to pick that up pretty well. I mean, he looks...
Well, that's a botch.
Yeah. Well, now let me ask you this. And I mentioned this last night on my quick hits show. Like, did Roman Reigns get his teeth redone, or am I making that up?
Like, no, I think so too, man. I actually saw that too. I'm like, damn, he has some really nice looking teeth all of a sudden. I'm like, what happened? Like, he obviously got some good work done. I guess that's what you can do in the time off, right? He was gone for quite a long time. I will say this though, man. You're saying that it kind of progressed. You know, that's the third match now. I think it's still going to happen, but not in the way you're thinking. Maybe even so much to say that it's going to be a triple threat match between Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman, and The Fiend coming up pretty soon here. I'm not sure if they're going to do that at Payback, but I would like to see a triple threat match because at least if, and I hope it doesn't happen, you got to build up The Fiend with the title for a long time. But if Roman Reigns has to take the title, at least in a way, a triple threat match type style with him not actually getting pinned would be, I guess, somewhat acceptable. I don't know, man. Like, what do you think about Roman Reigns? He's back.
He's back, man. Hey, I will say he looks the best he's ever looked. He's got to be put on like 30 pounds of muscle. I mean, number one, like, he is a much bigger dude. I like that he cut his hair and it's not like, you know, halfway down to his ass. Like, I like that. I like that he's actually, he looks a little different. His shirt was pretty cool. I hope he changes up his ring gear a little bit. Like, I hope he doesn't, you know, he drops the tactical vest. Like, I need him to evolve a little bit. And I think that's one of the issues that fans have had with Roman Reigns. And I could do like a 4-hour show on this whole subject. But I think one of the deals with Roman and the resentment fans have had is he has not changed at all since he left the Shield at all. And if this is a great opportunity to kind of repackage him a little bit. And I was very surprised to see him. I think had the crowd been actually there, I think he would have got a pretty damn good pop. I'll say that.
Oh my God, they would have went absolutely. You know, it's what's weird. Here's what's weird, especially with me, like me personally, like on my channel, like I've had many videos back in the day. Like this is like a year, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, whatever. I've had videos where I'm just, I don't know. Like I've criticized Reigns with the same stuff. He was getting over pushed, overbooked. They always tried to make him thug and never really put people over as much as I would like to see. And then he's gone for a while. He comes back. You know, he's a little bit better. I think his work was pretty decent before he kind of left again, you know, due to the whole pandemic stuff. And when he came back like this time around and at SummerSlam, and it was a complete secret and a surprise. I don't know, man. Like, the emotion came out of me. And I'm like, man, he really is just an enormous star in this business. Because as a guy who's not the biggest Roman Reigns fan, I went absolutely crazy. I was marking out like crazy for Roman Reigns coming back. And then I realized after, I'm like, oh my God, I was marking up.
Yeah. I felt my soul. Yeah, my soul was hurting. And I'm like, what am I doing? Why am I rooting for Roman Reigns right now? And it's because I think it's one of those deals of absence makes the heart grow fonder, right? And absolutely. I think that's one of the big things. He's been gone since before WrestleMania. And him attacking Braun Strowman makes sense given how he left, that Braun Strowman just immediately slipped in and faced Goldberg. And that was never explained. And I had a big issue with that was never explained how he gets in the main event of WrestleMania. And maybe they explained that, and that was one of the griefs that he had. And they get right into Roman Reigns versus The Fiend. But you're right. I think it could be a triple threat. But to me, I think if Braun Strowman is heel and Bray Wyatt is heel, what if they join forces, right? Like, what if they join forces against Roman Reigns? I mean, it's possible.
Superhero Reigns returns to crush The Fiend and Braun Strowman in a 2-in-1 handicap match, right? Book it, Vince. Oh God, no. That's something that would scare me beyond words. I know you're not talking about a match specifically, but no. Here's what's weird about all this. Like, we kind of had a double turn, right? And like, no one kind of realized there was a double turn. Like, I don't know, no one, but like, a lot of people didn't realize, like, The Fiend, in a weird way, kind of turned, like, babyface. And then the Strowman, I guess, is, like, full-blown heel now. And it's, like, no one was really talking about it other than the fact that he's a monster now. But, like, it wasn't, like, kind of pushed as, like, a big heel turn. So Roman Reigns comes back now. And I know, I'm not sure about, like, your channel here. But on my channel, everybody's like, oh, Roman Reigns turned heel. I'm like, I don't think he turned heel at all. I think it's the opposite. I think he just has more of an aggression kind of gimmick going on as a face going against these, you know, two individuals where Fiend, who knows, but Braun's clearly a heel now, right? Like, I don't know. What do you think, Matt?
Yeah, I've heard it. And I understand the argument for him turning heel. I get it, which is would be a perfect tagline for You Never Saw It Coming. You'll never see it coming. And no one would ever see a Roman Reigns return and heel turn coming at the same time. That would truly be something no one ever saw coming. So if it is – now, I'll address that first. If it is truly a heel turn, hey, I've been advocating for Roman Reigns to turn heel for like 4 years, ever since the Philadelphia 2015 Royal Rumble where he got booed out of the building and The Rock couldn't even save his ass. I have been just inching for a Roman Reigns heel turn that has been desperately needed and I think still hurts him to this day. With that said, if he's not turning heel and it is just the same old Roman Reigns, this is a great opportunity to kind of make him the anti-hero, to make an edge on that character. As I said earlier, to evolve the character, we need something new.
Absolutely. Please.
Like, don't give me the same old, you know, Roman Reigns that comes out, says three words, gets interrupted because they don't trust him to cut a good promo, and then just does a spear, does eight Superman punches. I don't need that guy. And I hope they've at least evolved him into something that is a little bit more relatable, a little bit more human than just kind of like a video game character that an eight-year-old is, you know, is controlling at home. I mean, that's what he felt like. I mean, so
Matt, you're not telling me he's not going to come out and say, hey, this is my dome now.
Oh, jeez. No, please, please. Oh, God, no. But actually, while we're on the subject, I know we only got a few minutes. What did you think of the Thunderdome? What do you think of it so far? It's a format that's going to continue for indefinitely.
I was actually curious what you think, because me personally, I think because of the just an immense amount of, like, they didn't have many technical problems. I so expect that there's going to be so many technical problems when they actually set this up. And the fact that they haven't really had that many technical problems, that's pretty exciting in a way, because I thought it looked pretty good. Like, it definitely does add to the whole Monday Night Raw pay-per-view and SmackDown experience. It definitely does make a clear divide on, you know, like the undercard, like, type stuff. And even though NXT's, you know, doing pretty well, and, you know, there's definitely seems to be like a transition now, you know, moving up to the main roster. I personally enjoy it. I didn't think I was going to enjoy it originally when I saw the concept pictures. It looked pretty kind of bad. But when they change the camera angles, they're doing different type of camera angles. I think it's definitely better than I expected. What do you think, man?
Yeah, I will say it's nice to see faces in the crowd that are actually WWE fans and not the NXT, quote, robots that WWE puts out there, and they cheer for who they're supposed to cheer and boo who they're supposed to boo. And it's nice to see that there's actual fans there. It is a bit distracting, and maybe that'll go away because it's new, but it is a bit distracting to me where I'm watching a match, but I'm also trying to see, like, what's, you know, this random person doing? What are these, you know, I'm like focusing in on different people.
Oh, really?
Just to see, like, yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's just the way my brain works. And I'm like, I wonder if someone's doing something hilarious or something maybe they shouldn't be doing. Like, and I'm sure WWE obviously is monitoring these things and will shut somebody off if they do something, you know, obscene, of course. But I'm a little distracted by it. And again, that'll probably go away with time, but I'm fine. The only thing is, it's missing the crowd noise. And WWE is really, again, I understand why they aren't allowing audio from individual, you know, like 500 random people. I get it. I understand the liability of it.
Awful.
It would be a really bad idea. At the same time, that to me is the soul of what any pro wrestling or any sporting event is the crowd noise. And yes, you have the visual of the people there, but you don't have the crowd noise. And WWE gets to live out their fantasy of piping in exactly the crowd reaction that they would like to hear from every superstar. And they are just living out their fantasy right now without having fans being able to ruin whatever plans that they have and boo who they're supposed to cheer and cheer who they're supposed to boo. So,
and honestly, the white noise situation too, Matt, like there is some sort of white noise that's going around there. They're definitely pumping something in there, which in a weird way, because I'm not sure if you watch hockey, but they're doing something similar in the NHL, and they're kind of piping in this kind of like static white noise, kind of cheering type type noise. And I think it definitely helps a bit. But at the same time, like, you know, like when Roman Reigns came back, right? It was kind of funny, right? Because he comes back, and then for the first time, I didn't hear that cheer of the crowd when he's kind of coming out of nowhere. You know that ramp? Yes. Kind of like that, oh my God, and then happens.
Yep.
We didn't get that. It was just the announcers going crazy, and then the same with the kind of the static. So I think the audio there kind of needs work, and I didn't mean to interrupt you. I do apologize for that. But for the video part of it especially, I think there needs to be a very clear, concise background that everybody has to follow. I don't know if it's blue or red. Maybe if it's blue for SmackDown, red for someone. And that way, at least it's going to look – everybody's going to kind of have their own background. I think it'll make it look a little bit better on the TV. And also, like you said, it hurts your eyes a little bit, right? Yeah. I think that's something personally that it would fix the distraction. But, you know, it's one of those things, like, it's never – no one really knew it was going to be perfect. But it's still, in my opinion, an upgrade of what they had before, for sure. Not obviously live fans, but what they had before.
God, I miss live fans and everything I see. It's killer. It's killer, man. I mean, especially in pro wrestling, and I'm a big MLB fan. I don't watch NHL so much, but I would say this, that maybe, and this is just a suggestion to WWE, hey, you can obviously cut the audio. There's no audio streaming from the person that's watching, and rightfully so. But maybe they have like three buttons that they can push. And, you know, one is to cheer, one is to boo, one is like, I don't know, a clapping noise or something. And that way, if they want, even if it's very, very, very subtle, if you have a lot of people doing it, you know, again, it's just a suggestion to make actual crowd noise. I don't know, but I miss live fans. And so, one last thing, because I know we're running against the clock
here. Okay, we can go as long as you want, my friend.
I have to ask about Retribution. That was a no-show. Like, where the hell was Retribution?
Where are the ninjas?
Yeah, with these faceless, nameless, and just countless, because now they're just like, you know, there's five of them, there's 10 of them, then there's 20 of them. There's really no set number. Number one, I'm surprised that they weren't at SummerSlam, the second biggest pay-per-view of the year. You'd think they'd want to make a big impact doing something. What do you think about this storyline so far? Where the hell is it going? I mean,
I don't think the WWE cares anymore. I think once the, come on, Matt, the moment, okay, I'm going to get excited here. Here we go. The moment when they did the whole toilet joke behind the scenes with Retribution, in my opinion, that's when Retribution died. I have so little care about Retribution. Guy coming out with the chainsaw, cutting the rope with the chainsaw, lifting his hand, so happy. Oh my God, I cut the ropes with the chainsaw. I'm so excited. Let's cut the second rope and the third rope. I'm so cool. Even though all of them are 5'7", none of them are really doing anything. They're just kind of screaming nonchalantly for no point, attacking Michael Cole. I guess I like that part. But overall, I think the Retribution storyline died with the toilet joke. I wanted to love them. I wanted to, Matt. I'm telling you, my friend. I wanted to love them so much. I'm like, nice, Retribution's coming out. That's exciting. 2 weeks later, oh my God, Retribution's coming out. I just can't. My heart can't do this, man. So, like, who's the leader? Who's the leader of Retribution, man? Who's it going to be? Brody Lee from AEW is going to come out with the Dark Order tag team?
He's the exalted one. I mean, listen, I was intrigued, and I'm still willing, although less so now, to give this an opportunity to flesh itself out. Again, it's been what, like three weeks, maybe 4 weeks since this whole thing started.
I admire you, Matt. I admire you, my friend.
I am a patient wrestling fan. If the story arc makes sense, and it's still, again, the problem is, we don't know anything. And even Michael Cole said, we still don't know what they want. Well, yeah, if we don't know what they want, then I don't care. Like, if they're not going to give them an identity, if you're not going to do anything other than just play off the real-world events of what's going on and throw cylinder blocks through windows and turn over cars and throw Molotov cocktails and all that stuff, which is honestly very dangerous territory if you're WWE. I'm very surprised they even went this road, considering the actual things that are going on right now in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ballsy. It's really ballsy, because it can go sour real easily. But with all that being said, I don't know what they are for. We know that they don't like WWE, because they're not just attacking superstars. They're attacking fans, which, I mean, LOL to the actual, it's not the real fans. I mean, they attacked the NXT trainees. They went after the announcers a couple of weeks in a row. They went after the production crew. I mean, so they don't have an agenda of who they're after. They just have WWE, and then they put a strike through it. We don't like this company. So they're out for some kind of retribution. I don't know what the hell these people, what this is for. I will say, WWE, for all their money and billions of dollars that they have hired the worst crack security team in the history of security teams. And just like these just absolutely like unintimidating, just completely useless security guards standing there and letting these people come into the building. They've had guys like not even be chased out of the building. Honestly, how is WWE not have a lawsuit for an unsafe work environment? I mean, they're in the arena, then they're backstage, but then the security guards are guarding the entrance. It makes no sense whatsoever. And not only that, they also, Retribution also kind of has an entrance of flickering the lights to let you know that we're coming. So does somebody have a power grid button? Is somebody standing there at the light switch going, like flipping the lights on and off to let everyone know, hey, we're coming, here's a warning. If you're going to actually attack somebody without letting them know, wouldn't you not want to let them know you're coming? So who's playing with the power grid every time before they come out? I mean, now I'm getting on a bit of a hot streak. Let me cool down.
How about Sheamus? God. How about Sheamus going to the security guard? He's, all right, guys, I don't really need the security guards. I'll take it from here. He stands there, and then in the next segment, oh, I got a match. I guess I got to go up to the middle of the ring.
That's
I'm
right.
Like, where are the security guards? They booked it.
I don't.
And nothing happened.
Get it.
Oh, it's Matt, you know, I want to, Matt, I'm telling you, I want to have the same hope that you have with Retribution. I want that to turn this around. But, like, they've already broke my heart. I can't do it with the toilet joke. They can't do it. It was a funny joke, but not for Retribution.
Not for what they are supposed to be. No. And the thing is, who is supposed to care about somebody? They don't even know not a single person that's in this group. We have no idea who anybody is. And I know we're supposed to have more questions than answers, but we have no answers, which means I don't have any questions, which means I'm starting to care
less. Who's the leader?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, people have speculated, oh, it's CM Punk. Could be The Miz. He comes out at the end and he doesn't really, you know. I mean, I've heard many, many, many different things. Or it could be somebody we've never seen in our lives. This thing could be a really good storyline. It has a very small window now of actually working. And they better do something because I care less and less every week now. Kind of like Raw Underground. Like, I don't know what the hell that is either. It's kind of like a pro wrestling version.
Now?
What's that?
CM Punk, do I have your attention now?
Yeah.
The Retribution coming up.
Oh, God, man. Yeah, that's very true.
So
but
funny.
All right. Well, I think we'll end it there. again, I want to thank you for coming on. But before you go, let everyone, my listeners, know where they can find you again on YouTube.
Hey, guys, so if you guys want to check out my content on YouTube, first of all, thank you so much for having me. I had an unbelievably good time. I feel like we have really good chemistry together as well. Thought that was a blast. If you guys want to find me, I am The Botch Guy. That's who I am. You can find me on YouTube. Literally just type in The Botch Guy. You will see me right there. You can subscribe right there. And I do live streams. My community posts are very, very active. I pretty much have questions there every single day for the community. And I also make videos over there. So thanks for letting me do that plug. I appreciate it. Matt, and I had an absolutely great time with you, man.
No, absolutely. This was fun. We'll definitely have to do this again, and maybe I'll make a little bit of an appearance on your show sometime.
Oh, are you ready for that? I hope you have something outstanding to bring to the product there.
Yeah, no, I'll see if – yeah, no, seriously, I'm going to have to grab a Red Bull or something. It's especially if it's late at night. It's going to be a fun time, that's for sure. So, well, thanks again for coming on, and we will be in touch very soon.
My pleasure.
All right. Take care.
Take care.